Remember that time that Russ made fun of me because I had back pains, and then I introduced him to a back doctor that's going to cure him, but he shows no signs of gratitude?
Yeah, but the back doctor won't take me for another 5 days.
Is it like a real doctor or is it a chiropractor?
No, it's a wow.
I don't
get complaints about that.
I don't really know the difference between a chiropractor and a back doctor.
A back doctor is a real doctor.
One's a fucking voodoo priest. That will work on babies and twist their spines.
Which one is that?
Read a book. Hey, Fresh, can you do me a favor before we get started?
Yeah.
Read a book. Get on Yelp and find out which doctors are assholes. Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I'm a harvester of your lollipops.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I am here to do this podcast now.
Oh, the baby is hurt. It hurt the baby. Somebody get the chiropractor and twist this baby's spine.
Now, Plant, you know if I could pay someone to twist Russ's spine, I would have done it long ago.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah,
poor
sorry.
Russ is not feeling so great, but we're all feeling great about this week in video games. It's been thrilling, I guess. No studios closed that I know of.
TimeGate actually just filed for bankruptcy.
Broke the streak.
Yeah.
You broke the streak, TimeGate.
This isn't funny or anything.
No,
it's a studio closing down, but on their bankruptcy filing, they listed their top 20 creditors, and I guess they didn't have many creditors, which is why on their list of top 20 creditors, there was a pizza place like down the street from their place that they owe like $35.
Stan's Pizza.
No, it's called like New York Pizza, which is great because they're in Sugar Land, Texas.
All the orders that they kept, like, did they go extra pepperoni and that's what screwed them?
Yeah, then that's why Aliens wasn't very good. That's the inside story. You heard it here first.
Hey, if I can't order pizza on credit, why are these guys able to? I don't understand.
Well, they're job providers. They're job creators and job providers, and you're not that.
So, who wants to kick things off this week? Who's got something hot popping off?
I'll start.
Okay, hit me, Fresh Dick. I'm ready.
My pick this week is the best use of a blood dragon for Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
A surprise win in the category.
Is that something that's actually... Is there a dragon fueled by blood in the game?
Well, that's his name. There are several of them, but essentially they're called blood dragons. So, yeah, they're a creature. It's not just like a cool 80s-sounding name. There are actually beings on this earth. Well, that earth. Named Blood Dragons. And, let me just do a quick synopsis. Essentially, we're dealing with an alternate history Far Cry 3 standalone game. I'm sure everyone's already heard of it, but set in, 2007, but it's an alternate 2007, essentially inspired by movies like Escape from New York, etc. In this case, you're dealing with a large open expanse, and there's animals still running around, but they're like cyber animals, cyber sharks, devil goats, that sort of thing. But the master of this land, the lion, the apex predator, is known as the Blood Dragon. And they sort of look like T-Rexes, but they've drank, you know, that stuff that the doctor gives you to like see inside barium when it like helps the x-rays.
Right.
Basically, like they drank a lot of barium, so they glow.
Wow.
And
you just managed to make Blood Dragons so boring.
I'm sorry, my monotone delivery today is not up to par, but essentially, so these dragons, they look like T-Rexes, and they march around, and they eat goats, and they eat sheep, and they eat people. And what's particularly cool, I think some people might remember in Far Cry 3, you could use animals to, like, F up other people's camps.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, there'd be a cage with a tiger in it, and you'd shoot open the cage, and the tiger would run around and mess up people.
Yeah.
A lot of Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon is about using these blood dragons, which are obviously a lot larger than tigers, to just eviscerate entire squads of guys. You can essentially steal the hearts of your enemies, literally the cyber hearts of your enemies, and then throw them. And apparently cyber hearts are the most favoritest food of the blood dragon, because they'll just march after them willy-nilly. And you could essentially just use them as offensive juggernauts to just
wreck. Can you ride them?
Spoiler? I don't know. I haven't gotten that far. Maybe.
Yeah, let's not answer that question.
Okay.
Well, God, now I know that you obviously can.
I don't actually know.
It's obviously
it's
rad.
It's not necessarily that either.
I don't actually know.
You become one. Fuck.
I think the coolest use of a blood dragon is when you're taking on, I forget what they're called, encampments, essentially. There's like a bunch of them all across the map. And that was in Far Cry 3. But these encampments have shield barriers surrounding them. And you could obviously sneak in and just kill everyone all stealthy-like if you want to do that. But the way more fun way to take out these encampments is essentially to sneak in and, before anyone notices, shut off the shield barrier, and then blood dragons just charge in and wreck the place. It is fucking awesome.
Is there anything that like sort of entices you to do stealthy stuff? Because I feel like Far Cry 3 had a pretty good balance of, yeah, there are so many different ways that you can do this. Do you want to go stealth? Do you want to go all-out attack? And it sounds like, since you have the option of dinosaurs, that stealth is not a very appealing option.
Well, there's a lot of missions where dinosaurs aren't, unfortunately, an option. Like if you're indoors.
Is that a bug? Is that a glitch?
It might be. I don't think they tested it very well, because there are certain missions without dinosaurs. And that seems like folly.
But I love that there's finally a game acknowledging the truth of the fact that dinosaurs and humans walk the earth at the same time.
Well,
I'm glad
that
somebody's finally brave enough to you know, get that
You know, there's already a book about that.
Mm-hmm.
The good book.
A very good book. I haven't played it yet. It's hard for me to get... I played the fuck out of that original game. And even with a thick sheen of Estevezian 80s charm on top of it, I just can't get psyched about it.
Guys, be honest with you. I've been playing for... I did, like, the first hour or so. I'm having a real hard time with the aesthetics. I just really hate them so much. Like, that neon is, like, so unpleasant to the orbs. It's tough.
It has a real Turok the Dinosaur Hunter thing to it.
Which one?
Like, the game, because there's so much fog. There's, like, fog
also, there's
everywhere.
Dinosaurs.
It's such a beautiful island, which was what I liked about that game, was, like, driving around this crazy landscape and being able to see somewhere in the distance and go there. And here, I like have no desire to go anywhere off the beaten path, because it just looks so gross.
Well, and also because there's no fucking animals for you to skin. And well, there
yes,
are
there
animals,
are.
But
there's no reason.
You can't take their parts and turn them into bags.
Well, there are minor reasons. If you kill a bunch of the animals, you get like certain weapon unlocks you can only get from killing the animals. So there's some benefit.
Okay.
But... Yeah, I would agree that the visuals are not super great to look at, and I do kind of wish it was brighter. Or if anything, it feels a little bit like they went middle ground. Like, if anything, I would have wanted them to go all the way with it and make it even like Tron-y or something, like all the way neon. But this feels like, well, it's essentially like a night level in Far Cry 3 with a scan line filter put over it.
Yeah, I just had a harder time identifying the enemies, which was never an issue for me in Far Cry.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I haven't played much of it, but I just the visuals did not immediately make me feel like a happy person.
It did occur to me though that essentially, if they made Far Cry 4 on an island with dinosaurs, it would be fucking awesome. Like, why has that not happened already?
Didn't everybody say that? Like, everybody said that initially, and this seems like they're sort of their but answer to that. Like,
yeah, they could have gone all... I mean, there's only one kind of dinosaur here, and it's a blood dragon. You know, think compies, raptors, pterodactyls. There's a lot of room to grow.
Pterodactyls, you kill the pterodactyl, and then you turn it into a hang glider.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
That one's on the house, Ubisoft. Just take that one. Put it right in the bank. No royalties required for this
Goaty.
Guy.
Goaty. I want to tell you guys about my game. Can I talk about my thing?
Go for
it.
Yeah,
please.
I want to talk... My award this week is for the best piracy prevention that is also kind of ironic. And that award goes to Game Dev Story.
Can irony be intentional? Because it seems like they knew what they were doing.
It's not Game Dev Story, is it?
Game Dev Tycoon.
There we go.
Important.
I'm giving away my bit, but Game Dev Tycoon is a simulator game where you're running a game studio, you're staffing up your studio, you're deciding on genre, topic combinations.
This is Game Dev Tycoon we're talking about?
This is Game Dev Tycoon.
Okay.
You are raising money for your studio, you're choosing what platforms you want to develop on, and the hysterical thing that the developers of Game Dev Tycoon did is they released a version, a cracked version, quote-unquote, on torrent sites, but the hitch was that at some point in your game, your studio would be absolutely crippled by piracy. It's like built into the game is that you basically are broken as a company by piracy, and that's only in the version that was released to pirate websites, which is
Entrapment, right? It's a honeypot.
Entrapment. It's a honeypot. It's also very, very funny. The thing, so that's funny, and you probably read about that this week. The thing that I think is so hysterical about this is that their game is kind of a clone. Like, Game Dev Tycoon is for all.
Before you start dropping these heat bombs on them, have you played the game?
I've played hours of the game.
You've played hours of Game Dev Tycoon?
Yes. Yeah.
And Game Dev Story.
I finished Game Dev Story. Right. I've played hours.
How do you finish Game Dev Story?
No. Well, yes.
Yeah, you finish it after like 3 years or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this goes through a 30-year console cycle, and to give you some like perspective of where I am, it starts with the Commodore 64-esque system, and I'm currently, the PlayStation has just been released. So that's about where I am in the chronology of things. And like, some of these things are going to be unavoidable, just because if you're doing this idea for a game, you know, some of it is just so natural and obvious that it's what you'd want to go for. But like, fundamentally, you're picking combinations, you're naming your games, you're deciding. Game Dev Tycoon is a lot deeper in that you can assign certain people from your studio have different rankings. They have different talents, and you can assign them
before, right?
Well, you can assign them to certain aspects of game design. It's also got sliders where you can decide like how much of a certain aspect of the game design you want to focus on in a certain length of time.
This so, like, is, for instance, this is Tycoon.
This is Tycoon. Yeah,
because this all sounds like stuff that was in Game Dev Story.
I don't think it had this amount of this much.
It looks there were definitely a little rankings bit deeper
and sliders and stuff.
There weren't sliders.
But there was like, how much do you want to invest in graphics, essentially?
This is like, this is deeper, because you could build, like, for instance, you can build an engine where, like, that enables you to do different things with your engine, that enables you to have different aspects to your game.
Okay.
Like, so, like, my engine, my first engine had really good 2D graphics.
That's ironic. You hate 2D graphics.
Stereo sound. What?
You hate 2D graphics.
Well, what's he gonna fucking out with 4D?
I'm gonna push it to 4D on the gameling
right on the get go.
No, it's still fun to name your games. I still like. I have a whole Killception series, and the Killception series is of course military strategy. But I have an action fantasy version. It's called Killception Legends, and I just couldn't come up with anything other than Killception, so everything is a take on the Killception franchise.
That's my favorite thing about Game Dev Story, and why this actually kind of sounds great, is like, game mechanics aside, it's amazing being somebody who covers this industry for a living that is like, man, EA is just a fucking, it's just a workhouse where they just churn out the same shit over and over again. And then you get put in charge of this digital corporation and you're like, all right, I will make one shooter. I will make a single shooter called Soldier Boy. And then you do it and you release it and it sells a billion copies. And you're like, well, fuck. Okay, four more Soldier Boys, and then I'll be able to afford the fantasy MMORPG that I've always wanted.
I built sequels into the third version of my engine, and I made a sequel. I think that's how it works. I definitely unlocked sequels, and I made my first sequel to Krull 2, which was a Game Boy game, and I made Krull 3, and it was a sequel, another fantasy action game in the Krull series. And it was basically like 32 weeks after I released Krull 2, I released Krull 3, and it was released to straight ones. Like, people despised it. And what was super embarrassing about it was that I had just paid, like, I had no idea it was going to tank like that, and I just paid the biggest investment ever in a gigantic E3 booth. And whatever game you're working on right then, during E3, there's a big banner for it. So I had this terrible, this gigantic booth with this huge banner that said Krull 3, which had just gotten straight ones, and like no one came because they hate Krull 3 because I waited 32 weeks in between sequels.
Oh, well,
you gotta make them want it. You honestly, Justin, you of all people should know how the hype train works. You can't bring that hype train right back to the station, you know, just half a year.
There actually is a hype meter for each game.
I believe it's pronounced hypometer.
The word clone is so inflammatory that I feel like it can only really be applicable in really egregious situations.
So far everything that he's described sounds like a straight up clone to me.
It's not from like writing about the game and looking at trailers and stuff like that. Like, there are the base mechanics, yes, are very, very similar. And what's distressing is that a lot of the aesthetics are kind of similar. Like, it takes place in this isometric cube of a room, and as your game gets better in certain categories, these little spheres pop out of your computer and go towards these four unique scores, which is like all exactly what Game Dev Story did. And like, okay, that seems unnecessary.
There is
cloning.
More they could have done to differentiate it, I think.
Stuff like that makes it clear
that the game originally was just a framework of, let's see if we can recreate Game Dev Story, and then as they went along, tried to expand it and make it something new. And like, that kind of iteration, I think, can get you outside of the clone denomination. It's just I don't know, there's some stuff in there that yes, definitely seems clony, but I'm never one to poo-poo a game just because it resembles another game but goes a lot deeper.
I want to know one unique thing that Game Dev Tycoon does that Game Dev Story did not do.
I mean, I told you, like, there's a lot more depth.
All that stuff was, everything that you've mentioned so far was in Game Dev Story.
I don't think it had as much specificity on like how, like the sliders of like, I want to spend this. There are three stages of development, and each one there's three categories with like sound. Like, one development stage is like sound, graphics, and level design. And the more time you spend on one, the less time you're going to spend on the others.
That was all in Game Dev Story.
No, it wasn't.
It totally was. You're just like making shit up now.
Oh, it absolutely
there are,
was.
When you make a game, there are different categories as you're working on it that fill up. There's a design category. There's a technology category, and each one of them has numbers. And you, as you work in your game, those fill up, and that determines how high quality the game is. And you also accrue bugs over time.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is all in Game Dev Story. No, you guys are smoking crack.
You can release the game.
This is all I'm saying.
Bugs. You also earn research that you can use.
I'm going to murder you guys. Here's the thing.
also guys, some research.
Here's how it's different. It's on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and Gamedom Story isn't. Okay.
Yeah, right now, based on what I've heard.
It came out on Windows in 1998.
Yeah,
they're both $8.
Right now, what I've heard is not any less shameless than the thing that happened to Ridiculous Fishing.
Then tell me how it earned 4.7 stars from Windows Store.
Okay. Good, best, Justin. Well done.
Guys, it's halftime.
Yeah, it is. That was the most organic, like, informative argument to troll I have ever. That transition was so buttery smooth. Guys, all I want to talk about is Animal Crossing, and I can't.
No, you cannot.
You can't. You have it?
Yeah, bro.
Oh. My God.
Chris Plant, I have 16 codes in my inbox. Do you want them?
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
No, I don't actually.
Oh my God, I hate you.
That wasn't like capital F funny. It was kind of funny.
It's really good.
Chris Plant, you want to drop some knowledge on us? You just taught a bunch of youngsters.
Okay.
Did you just go full blown Mr. Cooper? Was he a teacher?
He was a basketball coach. Who became a teacher? Is that
no? He's a basketball player, I think.
And then he gets injured.
And then he got injured.
And then he has to teach. Cooper.
That's not how the song went.
How did your tutelage go?
You know, it went great. I got to speak with undergrad game design class at NYU
about sex ed.
They were so curious and kind about the video game press. They were like, they wanted to know how to get their game seen. I told them to email Griffin.
Yep.
And I gave them your email address.
I'm gonna get a bunch of fucking college students hey, I've got this Match 3 game you're really gonna like.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. Here's step one. Find a game you really, really like. Step two, copy every part of that game. Step three, make fucking moolah.
But also take a stance about an issue like piracy.
And make people think that you added depth when you didn't actually add depth.
There is actually some depth. Just give it a try. I'm going to DL it after this. Anyway, I just knocked Match 3 games, but they're actually incredibly hard to make.
Yeah. I was impressed that, like, most of the people in the class, it seemed like, weren't... Well, I guess they can't be majors because they only offer an undergrad minor. So a lot of these people didn't have experience with games, and they learned how to make, like, impressive Unity games in one semester.
Yeah.
And then I was really sad about my capabilities.
It's, God, I wish I had something like that. I was gonna ask, like, what do you major in when you minor in game design? Like, what is the other? If it's not a program you can major in, like, are you sociology major with a minor in game design? Like,
it
that seems
like a lot of these people are doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah,
know?
I like that.
Yeah, I wish I would have totally done that. I have a sociology minor. You know what I'm doing with it?
Everything.
I didn't even know I had that, Griffin.
One of the games was so good. It was, it was like very rough prototype, but it was capture the flag with the teleport type of move from Dishonored.
That's
like,
kind
of
cool.
Like, it felt like it was teams of 2-on-2, and it was like basically 2D top-down plane, and you would have to go across the map to get the flag, but you had the option to shoot with like a shotgun type of thing that would stun. And then you could sword to kill, and that would cause them to get like a 5-second delay before their respawn on the opposite end of the court. And I wonder if I should be talking about this. I don't want anybody stealing their game design.
Yeah. I was gonna say it sounds a little like Unreal, where you use a telefragger.
I'm actually cloning it right now.
Yeah.
If you can just give me just like a little bit more, like what was the name of it, so I can throw it up.
But it was good. It was a good game. It was really cool.
Did you wear patches on your jacket?
Why?
Because you were a teacher, and that's what teachers wear.
Like elbow, like on the
like elbow. He meant elbow patches.
I didn't know if it was like alma mater patches. Like I had, my NYU varsity jacket.
Were you on varsity?
What sport?
Swimming and fencing. We're number one.
Oh, swim fencing.
Swim fencing.
Fencing.
Fencing is really fun. That's where it's like fencing, but it's underwater, so it's even more boring.
It's even slower.
It's wicked slow. Do you guys want to hear about my Unity game?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You got you roll a dice, and then the other person rolls the dice, and whoever gets a higher dice wins.
Oh, cool.
That's interesting.
Like that's crap. All I've got.
Oh, it's, you mean it's like craps. Oh, wait a minute. No. Crap.
No. It's more like CeeLo. Yeah, I should make a CeeLo game. I can put that on iOS and fucking make a killing.
Is there physics? Is there like dice physics?
There aren't. I mean, there could be, but I mean, then you get into a lot of different situations. I'm basically building the framework for a board game because I think that there need to be more of those.
You know, you could make a physical board game out of cardboard. Probably be easier.
I can do that. Yeah, but then you have to talk about distribution. I have to work with a partner.
Kickstarter.
I could kickstart it.
Yep.
I could kickstart it, or I could just do this thing that I've been doing for a year. If you would just like get off my balls for like a second, just for like a second.
These kids made amazing, jaw dropping, wowing Chris Plant games. Yeah,
and they're going to fucking school. I'm teaching myself. And yeah, it but sucks.
No, think I mean, of how much minor. Dope they're smoking. They're smoking so much dope, and even in the dope. Oh, but smoke
I'm smoking a lot of weed too. So like the handicaps are equal all around, except they have people who are smart telling them what to do,
like me,
like Chris fucking Plant. If I had Chris Plant over my shoulder, like you should make it so you have to die. Then I would be a mega millionaire by now. But he just doesn't want to collaborate.
Chris Plant, did you tell everyone to make that crappy SSX game?
What?
Did you tell all the kids to make that crappy SSX game you loved?
No, I told them all to beef up the graphics on level 8.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear my thing of the week?
Yeah.
Sure.
For sure.
My best value of the week, and also of all time, is Neverwinter. Which I think I've actually brought like
you brought this like 4 times.
No. I only brought it the once. I think
it was at E3 once.
A closed beta.
It was an E3 game.
Oh yeah. Right. Well, that doesn't count. It's out now. It's an open beta, but all the progress that you make during open beta carries over to the final version. So it's out. It's the same way that we say that Polygon is in beta, which we all know it's super not.
Do we say that?
Are we in beta?
Technically, right?
No.
We're in Alpha. We're in Delta?
No. We're
in Delta Burke.
We're accepting paid subscribers. Like all the Polygon Complete people are ponying up that dough.
Sure. Poly Platinum.
Platinum.
It's
called Olygon. You get the whole thing. All of it.
I played maybe 6 or 7 hours of the beta, and I played that's probably closer to 5. I played a lot of the closed beta weekends. I participated in 2 of those, so I actually played more of that than the open beta, but it's so good. I haven't spent a red goddamn cent on the thing so far, and I'm having a blast with it.
Are you an elf?
Half elf.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Mudblood.
Okay. It seems a little unnecessary. I can't remember what I've talked about. I feel like most of the time I've just focused on the user-generated stuff, which is sort of off and on. It seems like the servers aren't primo yet. But it's just fun to play. It doesn't reinvent the wheel as far as like MMO logic and you know, straightforward quests and go hunt this thing and collect this much of this thing. But it's just fun to play. Like it captures that D&D feel really, really well. Like the party mechanics of the actual tabletop D&D, even though it is not in a turn-based, isometric perspective point of view, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it still... I enjoy MMOs by myself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have been playing mostly by myself, but you can... It's pretty easy to find a party for...
Really?
For jumping into a... Yeah, sure.
That's what's always kept me away from it, is I felt like I would never have... My schedule wouldn't line up with all of my friends.
Oh, right. I haven't been playing with anybody I know.
You play with randoms. That's horrible. Yeah.
I group up with randos. How?
No, I said wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wish that there were more people playing it that I know, because like I'm having a lot of fun playing with people that I don't know and literally don't exchange word one with, except for like buffs, please.
Is there an integrated system for like? Is there some sort of social network behind it, like? Or is it just like if to be friends with somebody you just have to know their username in game?
Oh right. It's not like it's not like a Battle.net thing as far as I know. I don't have any friends. I got 0 friends.
I'll get it and be your friend. Like, do you want to give your warrior alias?
Oh, you'll so get can, like, slammed. You
I'll get it off. I'll get it off air because I've fucking slid down that muddy hill before. Dropped my EQ tag in the joystick comments, and then I just get slammed with friend requests from folks like, "I want to party with you." They don't want to party with you though. They just want to be close to you. You know what I mean?
Be close to your digital avatar.
It's like they almost are interested in heightening your experience. They just want to taste the fame.
That's exactly it. Like, all they want to do is, like, get a so from Griffin McElroy. They just want they want clarity from Griffin McElroy. These are all really great. These are all great.
Griffin, will you come Camp Dylan Star Sign with me?
These are some great EverQuest deep cuts that I don't think anybody's going to get.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So that's a pretty good deal for a no to play.
Where can they go?
Just go to Neverwinter and download it. It's free. It's fucking totally free. Free to death. I will say my favorite thing about it is that, as far as I know, every other MMO ever has canned death animations. So when you kill a monster, it just falls right down.
Yeah.
In Neverwinter, it's like ragdoll. So, like, when you use your daily power that you charge up and just drop it on somebody, they go fucking flying. And it's totally awesome.
Is it literally daily?
No. No, it's just... So you have your at-will powers. It's really... A lot of the terminology comes from 4th edition. You have your at-will powers.
That's confusing to say daily when it's not daily.
Right, but the powers in D&D 4th edition aren't daily, if you think about it.
I won't think about it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good deal, though. I am interested. Can I play as Drizzt Drodin, the mighty elf warrior?
You can, actually. That was actually a pre-order. I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God.
It was a pre-order bonus thing. They had these different founders packs, and one of the founders packs was $200.
Oh, my God.
And it got you, like, a shit ton of in-game loot and money and stuff, and early access and closed beta access and all that, but it also unlocks an exclusive race, which is the Drow,
the Drizzt Drodin race. Well, that's some nerd-ass shit right there.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty
that
deep.
That kind of scared me away.
It's really, it's genuinely very, very fun. It's like one of those games.
How's the combat?
That's the best thing about it. It's all free pointer. Like, where you aim is there's sort of a hybrid of where you aim is where you attack, but it also sort of is a little bit forgiving.
Is there a dance you can do for people?
I don't know. Well, that's
like
the
slash
thing, right?
Dance.
I don't know that I've actually chatted at all, so probably. I feel like that's a prerequisite for the genre.
Yeah.
It really is. The best thing about it, the shift button does a dodge roll, or if you're like the fighter class, who's really their only job is to soak up damage, it does a block. So, like, it's all context. Like, you will see an attack coming, and you have to, like, do something about it.
You know,
just, like, fucking stand there and take it and watch the numbers go down.
If you're a writer class, that makes letters big.
No, it's good.
Thank you.
That's never when I get it. And if you want, I'm on the Beholder shard.
That's a big eye with more eyes around it.
I'm on the Beholder shard if you want to get down.
But they can't find you. You're not going to get your name.
You will not find me. If you find someone who talks like me, then you can just suss out the mystery.
Just
follow
assume.
The clues.
Just
look
start
for the
calling
signs.
Him Griffin. Russ Freshdick.
No.
I'm ready.
You are not, I'm because not Chris Plant really. Is going.
Chris Plant.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready for this?
No.
America's ready.
I got a game called Candies.
Is that really what the game is
box.
Called?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
People keep calling it Candy Box, but I don't think that's the name of the game, because the site is called Candies. But the first thing you see on the site is the word Candy Box.
Also, the title of this site, if you favorite it, is Candy Box! Exclamation point.
So maybe it's Candy Box.
I think
Let's
it's
call
Candy,
it Candy Box.
Box.
It's Candy Box! Space! Exclamation point.
Well, yeah.
That's the favorite.
Now, I played this game. I went to this game on your recommendation, and here's what you can do. You watch as you accrue candies, and you can
Wait. No. Don't say anything else. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. If we saved this for the end for a reason, because you can walk away right now, baby.
I was going to do a joke, but
I know, but I
don't want you spoiling anything. And you can
The joke was going to be that I didn't see any of the stuff.
That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah. Well.
You know, I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, well, here's the thing. I want you to walk away. If you haven't played the game, pause the podcast, stop it, go and play the game. We're going to link it on the website, and then come back for the end of the podcast, because we are going to, we're not going to spoil the whole thing by any means, but we're going to spoil enough, because to talk about the game is to spoil the game. Okay. Now, okay. Oh, I hope somebody doesn't make a joke.
That most certainly is the probably the best lead in for jokes. we're all being pretty serious here. I hope no jokes coming down the pike. So when you do first load up the game, you see your accruing candies.
It's just text, though.
It's just text. You're accruing candies, and you can eat all the candies or throw 10 candies on the ground, and that's it.
Yep.
That's the whole game. Right?
Yep.
Oh, yo, yuckster.
God. Was that an orgasm?
I don't know.
Did we just hear Chris
orgasm? No, that's not actually the whole thing.
So, yeah, it's a game. It is a game that you leave open in another tab in your browser. It feels like a game designed to be ignored, allowing it to evolve and reveal itself to you. Because as you collect more and more candies, you get additional options. I actually don't remember which order they came in, because I'm looking at my current page, and there are so many options I'm having trouble remembering. But you gradually gain the ability to find objects and buy objects with these candies, and ultimately go on quests. And it becomes an RPG in which the grind is taken care of you by time, which is kind of like a Facebook game.
It's not that dissimilar in principle, I think. Russ, you had a good description of it.
Yes.
Today on Twitter.
Okay, so essentially, and this again is a big spoiler, so this doesn't really become apparent until you've probably spent about a half hour or 40 minutes with the game, but essentially the game breaks down into two major parts. One of them is farming lollipops. You can plant lollipops in the ground, and then the more lollipops you plant will cause more lollipops to grow, eventually coming to the point where you're farming hundreds and hundreds of lollipops within every minute. Lovely. So that's happening. You can then use those lollipops. I can't believe I'm even saying these words. You can then use these lollipops to upgrade your gear and to buy health potions and to buy maps and stuff like that, which you will then use on quests, which play out in really crudely animated ASCII art graphics, essentially where you fight goblins and knights and such using your skills and health potions and spells. And slowly but surely, more and more mechanics of the game get introduced to you, like upgrading your gear at a forge or stuff like that.
I wouldn't say much more than that.
How many degrees of people do you want to kick off the podcast?
No, we've already got the people that don't want any spoilers.
If you played the game for 20 minutes.
I just don't think we need to go much further, because you can just say that it continues to expand beyond.
But what's interesting about it? Like,
So the way I described it was essentially Harvest Moon meets Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. So obviously the lollipop harvesting is the Harvest Moon part. And then the Dark Souls part is that it's surprisingly, well, a little bit punishing in terms of difficulty, to the point where, like, you'll go on a quest and you'll die having, like, used a bunch of health potions and wasted a bunch of time and money. And you're sort of at the, not starting from scratch, but starting pretty far back from where you were before the quest. So it takes a lot of trial and error to, like, figure out how to master each quest. It's just, like, a surprising level of depth to a game that is super crude and starts out with you just eating candy.
Can I just do, like, the rest of the shit that you just described sounds really exhausting. Can it not just be a game about just fucking hanging out and eating candy?
You can actually
just
do that.
Yeah, that's always an option.
Yeah.
Why would anybody do anything else?
Because if you dig deep, you'll discover mysteries like a talking frog.
Yeah, also we should mention that the only candy they have is licorice jujubes, so...
Oh, God, yeah, why exactly. even bother?
I know.
Yeah.
Jujubes are passable when they're a good flavor.
Yep.
But, ugh.
And then later on, it's just spearmint.
Ugh. That's not bad. Like gum?
No, spearmint jujubes.
I don't
so,
get
like,
that,
you're
though.
In the movie theater and it's dark and you're eating the jujubes, and then you get a spearmint one after an orange and then a strawberry after the spearmint. Imagine
that's
that.
That's your whole day at that point.
Yeah.
If you are interested in playing this, you can go to candies.aniwey.net. Good URL, guys.
Or just Google candies box.
Will that work?
Oh, no.
Don't do that. That thing you said.
What I find so surprising about this game is I don't normally like role playing games, especially ones that get really weighed down with complex quest systems and mixing potions and stuff like that. And it's amazing how much more complicated the game gets. But because it was so simple at the beginning, and I'm so hooked on just that core mechanic, that I'm learning how to play a game that I would never have wanted to play.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thanks.
That is Candy Box. People are going to be talking about it for a while, and then they're going to forget. So make sure you trap the make sure you catch that zeitgeist. Just ride it.
What one?
I think Candy Box.
Are we just picking the best thing or the best delivery of that thing?
I think Griffin won.
I mean, I haven't taken one home in a while, so like it would be good.
Yeah. Wins every.
Griffin did win. I agree with you.
Paul. Yeah, yeah.
God damn it! I'm gonna have to get a shelf built in my den to put all these accolades on. I've been putting them on my desk, but now it's like, where am I going to put my keyboard? Where am I going to put my mouse?
The shipping expense is getting really, really pricey. I don't know.
At fake post office.
We have this website. It's polygon.com. You can go there, and we got this cool video feature called Human Angle. You can go there and meet the people behind the games, it's neat. And if you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe to it and put a review of it and maybe tell your friends to do that, just like as a way of saying, like, you are all are like our lollipop farm and your reviews are our lollipops and we just want to harvest them from you. So if you can review us on iTunes and subscribe and tell your dad about our show.
I want to thank everybody that took part in the erudite discussion in the comments of last week's episode.
Oh my word.
Yeah. Shit got super, super, super real in that joint. And it's just great that people want to have these material discussions about the important things. And like the fact that, I don't know, I always worry that the things that we say on this show will be misconstrued in some way or somebody will take it the wrong way. And it just like, just read all the things about the things that people were saying that we said, and just like seeing it, everybody got it perfect.
There's no confusion, is what
there's
you're
zero confusion. It was
and
all
no, nobody was being willfully obtuse. There was none of that, which I really like.
No, all kidding aside, like compared to other discussions on the subject that have taken place on the internet, it wasn't bad.
It was measured.
We only had.
Did you see it after people?
It got like 80 comments deep. It got real, but there wasn't. I feel like it wasn't too raw.
Huh.
I don't know. My metric may be off.
Perspectives. And that's gonna do it for us this week on the Besties. Make sure to join us again next Friday for this program, the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?